So we're in this brief 5-week look at some of the major themes in 1 Peter. And over, Peter is asking us to be odd for God. To follow in the radical way of Jesus is to make us strange. So open to 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll read there in just a moment while I retell one of my favorite stories of the man who is on his deathbed, his faithful wife Sarah there by his side. With what little energy he has left, he props himself up on his elbows and says, "Sarah, I've been thinking. I proposed to you in the middle of the Depression. I had nothing. And you said yes. And then the Great War broke out and I was drafted. You enlisted as a nurse to be near me. When I was wounded in battle, you were there with me all through my recovery and rehab. And since then, Sarah, we have had nothing but one struggle after another. And you've stayed with me. And now here I am dying. And the first face I see every morning is yours." He said, "You know what, Sarah? You're bad luck." Now, some people just do not know what a good life looks like. And so consequently, they get to the end of their life and they look back with more regrets than thanksgivings. What we're going to see this morning is that Peter says happy new years are possible. And a prosperous life is obtainable. But some would say his approach is rather strange. Look with me, chapter 3, starting in verse 8. He says, "Finally, all of you..." Okay, now let me stop just a second. This is proof that when a preacher says, "finally," he's not near finished. He's got a long way to go. So the next time you hear me say, "now in conclusion," and I go 10 or 15 more minutes, I'm just following apostolic example. So he says, "finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For," look at this next phrase, "whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now, we're going to conclude in a moment with some real practical ideas of how to have a prosperous life. But first, we have to uncover some principles. And there's one that undergirds the whole book of 1 Peter, and it is this, that our new life in Christ will seem strange. Peter is writing to a pilgrim people, to an alien nation, to a people displaced in their own place. And what has exiled them is not their race, but grace. Through God's mercy, they have been birthed into a new kingdom. They possess a new nature, and with it, they hold some new convictions and values that have set them apart in such a way that now, living among people they've known all their lives, they seem strange. In fact, he starts the letter back in chapter 1, verse 1 with these words, "I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners." They are now viewed as exiles in the homes they've been in all their lives, because Peter is calling on his readers to be odd for God. You cannot expect people who have not received the Spirit of God, who do not follow in the radical way of Jesus to understand people who do. We should seem strange. To be Christian is to be so different that people ask you why. For example, I recently heard a story about a man named Jack Eckerd. Now, you may not recognize that name, but you probably do recognize Eckerd Drugstores. He founded that chain, and late in his life, he became a follower of the strange way of Jesus. And shortly thereafter, he's walking through one of his stores, and he noticed something he had never noticed before. That on the top shelf of the magazine racks, there were magazines titled Playboy and Penthouse. That never bothered him before. But now it did. Because he was odd for God. So he called the president of his drugstore company and said, I want all those magazines removed. And he said, Jack, you don't want to do that. Why? He said, Jack, we make millions of dollars selling those magazines. You see, but suddenly Jack Eckerd is driven by a conviction that's stronger than the bottom line. He said, I don't care how much we make. I want them out of my stores. And they were taken out. And then he wrote the presidents of other drugstore companies he knew across the country. He wrote them once. He got no replies. He wrote them twice. He got no replies. It was only after a news story came out that some people hearing what Eckerd had done were now going to his stores instead of others, that other stores responded. Not because of Christian convictions, but simply because they didn't want to lose sales. In fact, on his board was the president of 7-Eleven Corporation, who did the same thing in his 5,000 outlets. And so within 12 months, 11,000 retail outlets in this country took those magazines off the shelves because one man was now odd for God. You see, the strange life might be filled with reproach. Don't expect everybody to get it. But it's not filled with regrets. And that's because Peter says the strange life is the good life. He says, whoever would love life and see good days. See, Peter is clear in this book. The strange life can be hard, but it's also good. He insists it's a life that can be loved. And if you're a guest today, let me just say, I want to apologize for all the Christians who have made being a Christian seem grim. Jesus wasn't grim. Jesus wants us to enjoy life, not just endure it with the hope that maybe someday we can squeak into heaven. Here's what Jesus said in John 10:10. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. You see, the Bible doesn't agree with the culture's definition of the good life. In fact, the Bible says a lot of people living the good life are miserable. You can read the book of Ecclesiastes, and the writer said, I had the means to have every single desire I wanted fulfilled, and it was all meaningless. A rich young man came to Jesus one time and said, how can I have the life that lasts forever? And when Jesus told him, he went away sad. You see, the Bible says the good life cannot be purchased, but it can be pursued. And that's why Scripture is full of people who are full of joy, even though their other accounts are empty. I love every now and then just to remember Bud and Minnie Stewart. They were an elderly couple at the first church I preached at. They lived in a small house in a bad part of Abilene, and frankly, I don't know what kept the city from condemning their house. It was so run down. They were very poor people. Bud had lost an arm as a young man in an accident, and it kept him from ever getting a good paying job because he didn't have an education. Minnie did not have functioning kidneys, and so three times a week she would go and sit in a chair while they would literally take all the old blood out of her body and put new blood back in. As long as I knew Minnie, from here to here, her arms were black and blue. You could hardly find a flesh-colored piece of skin. And you'd say, well, what a nice young preacher. You would go to encourage those old people. No, I would go to get encouraged. I would go to get my spirits lifted. Because they were two of the happiest people I have ever known. Minnie especially would sit with her bruised arms in a chair with her tattered Bible beside her and just tell story after story of how good God had been and just laugh and laugh and laugh. And I love their memory. And when I preached their funerals, I said clearly, these are two of the richest people I've ever known. Now that may seem strange, but it's true. You see, life was meant to be loved, but not the way most are trying to do it. Listen to Peter. He says, if you want to love life, you can get serious about loving people. You love life when you get serious about loving people. Do you notice all the advice that Peter gave about the good life involved relationships? You see, the reason we are strange to the world is because we are intentionally living our life by a different bottom line. Our bottom line is the mission of Jesus. And what Peter is saying is if you're going to live missionally, then you are going to live relationally. You cannot divorce the mission of Jesus from the people around you. So listen again as Peter describes what the good life looks like. He says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do. And He will bless you for it. The good life is the life God blesses. Didn't Jesus tell us, do you want to lose your life? You want to waste your life? Then spend your life about yourself. You want to save your life? Then spend it on other people. This is our calling. To truly love life, we've got to enter intentionally into the lives of other people. And it's strange because it even includes loving people that are hard to love. Now, listen to me close here, because a lot of Christians are under the misguided perception that I live a loving life because I love a lot of lovely people. Wrong. Jesus said the most ungodly man on earth can give a coat to somebody when he knows he's going to get it back. The foulest man on earth can say a nice thing to someone who's always saying nice things to him. It's when the guy on 820 cuts you off in traffic and you pray for him instead of say other things. It's when the boss chews you out and it wasn't your fault and you don't get bitter. It's when the kids at school leave you out and it hurts That's when you're strange and odd for the glory of God. Because you got to understand something. It doesn't take the Holy Spirit of God to treat people like they deserve. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to treat people like they do not deserve. Because that's what grace is. And here's something you really got to understand, folks. Grace is strange. God is strange. All the other gods of all the other religions in the world treat people like they deserve. But not the God of the Bible. He's a strange God. Because He's so full of grace. And He says, you want a good life? Be like me. And the Holy Spirit makes strange living and good loving possible. And Peter's going to make it practical. So let me just show you three things we can start doing today to start living a strange but good life. Here's number one. Be a sweet talker. A lady came up to John Wesley one time and said, "Brother Wesley, I think I know what my talent is." And he said, "What, madam, is that?" She said, "It is to always speak my mind." And Wesley said, "Madam, I do not think God would mind if you buried that talent." Because so many of life's regrets were started or exacerbated by things we said. And so listen to Peter. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. We've all been in conversations with somebody and it was a little bit tense. And then later we leave and immediately we think, "Oh, I wish I had said that." Okay. When you think of what you wish you had said, was it a blessing or a blast? Peter says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with a blessing. Now, folks, that's strange. And that I don't ever recall a single time I regretted doing it. Now, I regret some things I've said. And I could try to rationalize or baptize unkind things I've said by, I didn't start it. They were unfair. I can think of times when I received really ugly emails where I just typed something back real quick and it felt good to punch send for just a moment. But then I wished I could get it back and I couldn't. But I don't ever remember a time when I heard an ugly word or received an ugly email and I stepped back and I prayed and then I sent a blessing. I don't ever remember a time that I did that I regret. And that's why one of my daily prayers is Psalm 141:3. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Because you cannot have a poisonous mouth and a prosperous life. Now, you could live in a big house, drive a new car, but you'll look back on your life with a lot of regret. You cannot have a poisonous tongue and a prosperous life. You want to see good days? Be a sweet talker. Here's practical tip number two. Be a do-gooder. Peter says, whoever would love life and see good days must turn from evil and do good. You see, the good life is not just a life absence of bad things. It's a life full of doing good things. Even when life is hard, especially when life is hard. Especially then we should be do-gooders. Peter says in chapter 2, It's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of the foolish. In other words, when strange but good living shows up, foolish talk shuts up. Because here's what do-gooders know. No matter what they say about us, no matter how they slander us, we know when we have spent our lives doing good to people that our lives have counted for something. Perhaps you're familiar with the name Christopher Hitchens, a British author. He now lives in America. One of the popular new atheist authors. His best-selling book, published in 2007, was titled God Is Not Great. And you may know the rest of the story. He was diagnosed last year with esophageal cancer. It's a very aggressive kind of cancer. Typically, people with it do not live longer than 5 years. He's right now experiencing the ravaging of his body in a chemotherapy treatment that probably will not stop the disease. And he said this recently in an interview. I am badly oppressed by a gnawing sense of waste. To the dumb question, why me? The cosmos barely bothers to return the reply, why not? Now, sometimes wish I were suffering in a good cause or risking my life for the good of others instead of just being a gravely endangered patient. Allow me to inform you, though, that when you sit in a room with a set of other finalists and kindly people bring a huge transparent bag of poison to plant in your arms, and you either read or don't read a book while the venom sac gradually empties into your system, you feel swamped with passivity and impotence, dissolving in powerlessness like a sugar lump in water. Sounds to me like the writer of Ecclesiastes. It's all been so meaningless. I don't want you to look back on your life and feel that way. Listen instead to the words of Paul in Titus chapter 3. Our people must learn to use their lives for doing good. They should do good for people who need it. Then our people will not have empty lives. You'll be able to look back and say, I may never have made the headlines. My obituary may not be put on the front page, but I know my life mattered. Because the rich life is the one that was spent for other people. Do you want to love life, not just survive it? Be a sweet talker, be a do-gooder. One more thing, be a peacemaker. Because a good day is not one that's sheltered and pampered. A good day is when you experience the presence of God because you are partnering with God in His ministry of reconciliation. You're offering peace to the world. Peter says, whoever would love life and see good days must seek peace and pursue it. Not just love peace, but make some. Not just pursue the end of the fighting, but the beginning of the healing. And again, this will seem so strange to the world. When the terrible riots broke out in 1993 in Los Angeles, Reginald Denny found himself, unfortunately, on Normandy Avenue, not knowing what was going on. Two men came up to where his pickup was stopped, opened the door, grabbed him, pulled him out on the street, began to beat his head with broken glass, kicking him until both sides of his face caved in. A helicopter above caught the whole thing on video. The two men were caught and arrested and sent to trial. On the day they were sentenced, against the advice of his lawyers, Reginald Denny stands up, walks across the courtroom to the mothers of those two men, and he embraces them and he says to them, I forgive your sons. words. I want you to know that. And how did the world respond? One commentator said this. Well, you must remember that Reginald Denny did suffer some brain damage. But let me say to you, you probably have the right to be angry at someone today. Maybe your parents didn't give you the childhood you deserved. Maybe your ex was unfaithful. Maybe your boss has been unfair. But listen to me. Every day of your life that you live consumed with bitterness is a day wasted. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. And when I have been beside the bed of those close to death, and I've done this many times, I will tell you without question, the single regret I have heard spoken from the lips of people at the end of life more than any other is this: I wish I had fixed that relationship. Don't let that happen to you. If it's possible, Paul says in Romans 12, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't give others authority to determine your prosperity. You can decide to love life because you can decide to live a loving life. And it's a decision you will never regret. Do not be deceived. This is hard. Strange living is hard. But it's good. And if you want to live this way, it's going to take more than just sprinkling in a little church attendance. Religious people can be some of the most miserable people you ever meet. The good life requires sincerely surrendering every day to the Holy Spirit and praying, Spirit of God, take over today. Take over my hands, my eyes, my mouth, so I can love people today like and for Jesus. Let's bow our hearts and our heads and do that right now. I want to begin our prayer time with an old prayer from Francis of Assisi. Bow with me. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And so now do something for me. Just in this quiet moment, ask the Spirit of God to put on your heart right now one name and one face that you could love a little more strangely. And oh God, we pray now not just that we would love Jesus more, but that we would love more like Jesus. For His glory. Amen. So let me ask you all now to stand. We're going to sing an old precious hymn that speaks to who we are as the strange United People of God. And as we sing, if you would like to be baptized into Jesus Christ this morning, would you come down and let us know that right now?